time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. Did you guys have a good weekend?
I did.
I saw you on Saturday.
We did. We went to Babylon. Ooh.
Okay, so I get a text from Paul. Actually, I texted Paul because I was bored. He and I both stayed in Friday night. That sounds like we lived together. We separately stayed in our own respective apartments on Friday.
I watched Spider-Man 1.
I watched Dateline.
Okay.
And per usual.
Of course, some murder on a Friday.
The husband did it. So we, Saturday, we're like, well, let's do something. So we went to a club. I get there before Paul. I'm not really a club person, but I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever, let's have some fun. I realized when I got there, it was the grand opening of this club.
Yeah, that's the place that used to be Howl at the Moon,
which I, by the way, love me some Howl at the Moon.
I enjoyed it too. Midtown's weird. I haven't been there in like 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whoa, okay. It's not
the
same thing.
So they open the doors. There's all these balloons. I become friends with these 21-year-old girls. It was one of their birthday. I bought them all shots. They were eternally grateful. A lot of designer bags, a lot of short dresses, a lot of
oh, yeah.
Paul and I both left before midnight.
We both were looking at it and we're like, damn. So I don't know how you were feeling. I just know in that moment right there, even though as you bust my balls for all the time, I am generally looking for the Arizona State grads. Yeah. I thought to myself, you know what? I've even had enough. I'm done.
Paul and
goodbye.
I had some nice heart-to-hearts at the bar, but it was time to go. So Sean, did you do anything fun this weekend? Hang out?
No, I didn't do anything fun. So for the listeners out there being like, hey, wait, Paul and Vanessa hung out and they didn't ask Sean? They did ask Sean. I worked Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And then I didn't get to take my post-show nap on Saturday because I had to be with my family. So I was literally doing laundry and like trying to stay awake between washer and dryer loads when they asked me. And I was like, I cannot do it.
Totally understand.
Physically, I cannot do
it. But we all have to get our stamina up because football season's right around the corner.
Football season is around the corner.
This was our last weekend without football.
It was.
There was a game on Saturday that we'll touch on a little bit today.
Some preseason action.
Northwestern and Nebraska. I did watch a good deal of that game. It was fun to watch it back, especially because Nebraska is like the crappier version of is Texas back? Nebraska still not back. So that was fun. But otherwise, yeah.
We're going to have some fun. You're going to hit some college games this fall. I'm going to travel to a couple of Texans games.
Yeah, we got to.
The station some coverage. So, and then, of course, we have our UT alum on hand to tell us every week whether or not Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns are, in fact,
they're not
back. We'll see. Hey, they could be back.
No, they're not going
to. The Astros ran it back yesterday. They did win, but they lost 2 of 3 this weekend to the Baltimore Orioles. But it really wasn't the score. It wasn't the game. It wasn't the result that mattered yesterday. It was Justin Verlander and a calf injury. Now, when this first happened, you see Twitter explode. You're at the game. Everyone's wondering, why is he leading after 3 innings? And I think it was 60 pitches. It ended up being, quote-unquote, calf discomfort, and Dusty Baker, this audio via reporter Paul Gallant, touched on it after the game.
Well, we just have to find out. He's going in for some imaging tomorrow, and I think it's already been reported that it was he felt it when he covered first base. It was his calf, and that's, the best of bad news. I mean, you know, we were glad it wasn't anything to do with his elbow or arm or anything like that. So we'll just have to wait until he has the imaging tomorrow.
All right. So MRI today, sounds like.
He's right in that it could have been worse. It could have been another body part. But I think we're all collectively concerned whenever there's anything that looks like it's a faulty part now on Justin Verlander. And I mean, my God, this morning, Vanessa, before the show, I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to look to see if we actually have an update on the MRI. And we have Zapruder analysis from internet doctors analyzing frame by frame what Verlander went through. This is where he really felt the calf twinge.
Thank you, doctors of Twitter.
Right. And I mean, I remember when it first happened, I thought to myself, oh, I mean, he kind of had to fight to get through 3 innings. Like, 60 pitches over three innings, that's a lot. I figured that they were managing his pitching. And considering the last time I had gone to an Astros game,
which I actually wouldn't be mad about, by the way.
No, they pulled him out of a no-hitter. So, I mean, if they're going to pull him out of a game against the Baltimore Orioles, I have no problem with that. Hopefully the Astros will score some runs. But there are more injuries than you would like to have for this team right now.
Well, here's what the injury could be. He's 39 years old, and how many of us, look, I'm not in my 30s, but I've heard once you get into your 30s, you sleep wrong.
Wow, just rub it in.
FYI.
This happened to me last week, too,
okay,
one day.
Okay, there you go.
I woke up and my neck hurt for 3 days.
It happens to me, too, and I'm 26.
Yeah.
But I'm just unhealthy.
Yeah. Sorry, I get distracted by the Twitch. People are talking about my Grateful Dead shirt. If you don't like it, that's your problem. But Justin Verlander, we hope, does not have a problem with anything more than a calf. The Astros love using, obviously, the word discomfort. We've heard that a lot. They are very private about injuries, but I hope that after he gets some imaging, we can find out more. Now, in general, the injuries are kind of piling up for the Astros.
In general, yeah.
Shaz McCormick, dislocated pinky. Ryan Pressly is on the IL. Yordan has this hand situation happening that we're not sure on that either. What are you guys' thoughts now that Verlander is on that list? And again, he's not on any official list. It's not like he's on the IL. We don't even know if he's going to miss games. But thoughts as the Astros injuries pile up in August, late August.
Look, it's not just that there's a lot of injuries piling up. It's also that they took like 3 days to score any runs against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, the bats were snoozing.
My bad. 2+ days. They figured it out eventually. Yuli Gurriel has the, he knocks in the 2 runs in the 7th. Bregman absolutely destroyed a baseball in the 8th inning. But look, I don't want to get too freaked out. You know, we are people who follow the Houston Astros. But I think there's a little reason for mild panic. Maybe someone else needs to take it away for me. I don't know. That's just me. We do have a caller, by the way.
Oh, we do. Melvin, I'm so sorry. I had an uncle named Melvin. Great uncle. Rest in peace. Melvin, would you like to talk about the Astros?
Melvin.
Did Melvin hang up?
Yeah. There we go.
Here we got
Melvin. What's up, Melvin?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah. What you got?
Okay. Is there any way they're going to bring Hunter Brown up since JB's on the disabled list now? Maybe he could start a few games to see what he has.
Well, it's worth mentioning, Melvin, they scratched him from his start today. So that actually might be about to happen.
That's the theory.
Right. We'll see. Again, it's, you know, we're also playing online detective with that kind of information. But I mean, he's been throwing some straight gas. I saw a couple of tweets about some of the pitches that he's been throwing over the last couple of games. And also Forrest Whitley apparently looked pretty decent too. So, yeah, you add those two things up. It's probably going to be Hunter Brown, just given that we've been hearing about Hunter Brown all year long, and we'll finally get to see him up at the show.
This is an Astros team that has a lot of depth, but there is possibly some people panicking just because of the sheer amount of injuries. And for that, we bring in our resident panic man.
Think your favorite team has it all figured out? Think again.
I thought what we had was special!
Sure, for now.
Oh God, oh man, oh God, oh man, oh God!
Never fear, a superhero is here to remind you why your team's actually
up in the sky, it's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Panic Man!
Yes, it's I, Panic Man! Vanessa, the Astros, the season is over. Justin Verlander with a calf injury. Don't you know how much force you need to generate to create a pitch like Justin Verlander? The torque necessary from your calf? Will he be the same pitcher ever again the rest of his life? I can't say. I'm just here as Panic Man. Yordan Alvarez, what's wrong with his hand? Jazz McCormick, the only center fielder on this team that's, like, not terrible. We gotta freak out, man.
That was Panic Man, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Panic Man.
Which is what Twitter looked like after Justin Verlander left after 3 innings. I'm hoping this is a simple, he's 39 years old, his age is showing a little bit, and they felt like it was better safe than sorry.
Right.
I am all for taking precaution. It does bring in question if this is something that has to happen long term. What's the comfortability with Lance McCullers Jr., who's not 100% yet? Javier, where does he fit back in? And what does the rotation look like? A lot of people talking, of course, on Twitter today about Hunter Brown. We shall see the Astros take on the Texas Rangers next.
Tomorrow, right.
Yeah, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the controversial top 100 list is released. And oh boy, a lot of opinions on that. That's coming up.
Yes. 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So we know that Tom Brady is your Lord and Savior,
yes.
As our show open says. Would you agree that he's the best player in the NFL right now?
I have to be honest here. Full disclosure, I felt like he should have won MVP last year.
Okay.
I am biased, I'll admit it, but he had more touchdowns than Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers missed the game because of the whole COVID deal. And while I'm not as outraged as some were about Aaron Rodgers and his comments about being immunized, which never got a follow-up question, I thought, you know what, you got to be available for every single game. Tom Brady was. So I can understand the argument for Brady being the best player in the NFL last year. Would I have said that? I don't know. I mean, I probably would have put Rodgers ahead of him because while I'm a big fan of Tom Brady, obviously, I do think that from a, hey, all that he has to work with perspective, just his own physical skills, that Rodgers is working with a little more than Brady has.
Let me give you the top 10. And this is, of course, the NFL top 100 as voted by other players, which is important to add. Yeah.
Yeah.
One is Tom Brady. Two is Aaron Donald. Three is Aaron Rodgers. Four is Cooper Kupp, followed by Jonathan Taylor at five. TJ Watt at six. Devontae Adams. Patrick Mahomes is eight. Jalen Ramsey, nine. And Travis Kelce is 10. Josh Allen, who a lot of people thought might be in that number two, number one range, isn't listed until number 13.
I think that there are some people that are still getting over their preconceived notions of Allen. And I also think, too, just because of the position quarterback, there's a tendency to have a ton of them up at the top of the list. But I don't have a big problem with him being out of it. It is weird that Cooper Kupp's in there. And Kupp had a great year last season. One of the best seasons we've seen from a wide receiver in a while. But this is like the first year that he has done all of those things. And now Kevin O'Connell's gone and he's in Minnesota. Is that going to actually continue this year? With Matt Stafford also not necessarily 100% right now. Is he going to make it through the year? Kupp's the one I look at. I'm like, not 100% sure on that one. Also, Jalen Ramsey. I'm surprised Jalen Ramsey was the first corner on the board there.
Definitely surprised by that. And the whole thing also with Cooper Kupp is it's like his whole thing of underrated, under the radar, like you've arrived. Let's stop with that storyline. It was nice last year in the last couple of years. But yeah, this was overall a surprising list. I don't think there were any Texans players on it. I don't know how I feel about that. But
I mean, there shouldn't have been. Let's be honest.
Damian Pierce is a rookie.
That's true. Hey, there you go.
Outside of Brandon Cooks, there shouldn't have been.
A lot of people saying that this list should go wayward, the way of the fourth preseason game.
They should get rid of it?
Yeah, that they should get rid of it because guys are going to vote for their friends, guys are going to vote for people on their team, etc. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if it's worth anything. I do think that Tom Brady is the easy answer for number one. And it was the fourth time, by the way, that he was selected number one on this list. That's more than anybody ever. No one's even made it twice at number one.
That's a nice, I guess, conciliatory prize for the guy who should have been MVP. My big issue over this past season is that Brady should not have less MVPs than Aaron Rodgers, and now Aaron Rodgers has more MVPs than Tom Brady.
You're right. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has won 7 Super Bowls.
Right.
And I love Aaron Rodgers. And I love the way he plays. I think he's got God-gifted talents, but somebody that's won 7 Super Bowls, how does that happen, by the way?
What?
Him not having MVPs.
Part of it. You know, there's a guy who, like, you know, just noted playoff choker who was consistently getting them.
I get
that. I don't know if you know
Aaron
who
Rodgers.
Well, I mean, there's that, too.
Tom Brady was better at Peyton Manning in the playoffs.
Thank you.
By far.
Good.
And in moments of conflict could step up in ways that Manning couldn't.
And he should have been able to steal Peyton Manning's MVP trophies like the Wu-Tang Clan can steal
Manning.
That album that they gave to Martin Shkreli.
It's just in general. Like, why does he not have more MVPs than Aaron Rodgers.
The MVP trophy is a strange thing in every single sport because it is like the quarterback award now in the NFL too. But there have been only a couple of seasons where Brady's been statistically brilliant compared to everybody else. For the most part, it's just been like consistent level. But he's had a couple of down years too. Like, I actually can't understand why he doesn't have all of the MVPs. Sure. You know, it's not like it's Michael Jordan where Jordan was like a class above everybody else. Brady's been great. I don't think you could consistently say every year Brady's been better than everybody else out there, though. And this, you can actually compare playoff numbers, too. Brady's playoff numbers are surprisingly not as good as you would think they are. He just wins.
He does win a lot. That was the NFL Top 100 list. That's something that we'll talk about for probably a week before the actual season starts. We'll get to our NFL segment here in a little bit, by the way. There was some college football this weekend, guys. Week zero.
Yes, and it was in Ireland, and it was a great way to kick off the year because Nebraska is this program, and I'm sure there are some Nebraska fans listening. One of my good buddies
Huskers.
is a Huskers fan, and he is just constantly disappointed. And they are essentially Texas like 10 to 15 years from now because they had those really good years in the mid-90s with Tommy Osborne. But it's been a rather disappointing stretch for them. Maybe going all the way back to what, like 2009, 2010 or something like that?
Their last 10-win season was 2012.
Yeah, that sounds about right, Sean. And
they lost in the Capital One Bowl.
So now they have Scott Frost, Nebraska legend, as head coach.
It's going really well.
But he has sucked. I mean, they've been 15-30 with him at the helm. And
Jim Weber tweeted, by the way, Bo Pelini was fired after going 67-27. So if Frost wins his next 50 games in a row, he would still have a worse record at Nebraska than Bo did.
Yes.
That is some math right there.
Yes. I mean, 15-30. You take a look at their record in one score games, 5-21.
Unbelievable.
Since hiring Frost in 2018. The first Power 5 school to lose 9 consecutive one-score games since Iowa State from 2014 to 2016. And look, they had the lead twice on Northwestern in this game, and it was 14-3. It was 28-17. But here's what's crazy. They get the 28-17 lead. There's 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's early, right? These bozos decide to kick an onside kick, which is funny because Frost had said, like, yeah, like, I'm going to actually have a special teams coordinator, but I'll be involved in the special teams part of things,
too. That's
a
very O'Brien answer, by the way.
Right. Yeah,
that is so O'Brien.
So he clearly called for this. And, of course, Northwestern goes on to win 31-28. And, man, there was a very, very amusing press conference afterwards.
I love the Irish accent, by the way.
Yes. There's an Irish person, I guess, who's covering this game and is like, has probably no idea anything about Nebraska football, the Big Ten.
And he like usually covers cricket or whatever.
Probably, yeah. Or whatever the hell they do. They're like stone throwing.
You're
I
Irish.
Don't know.
You should know.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm like confusing it with Scotland. I'm being racist against my own people. But in this situation, this reporter like just decides to put a real fastball right into Scott Frost's grill.
To Harbor, but if things don't start going in the right direction, is there any point in time where you would consider stepping down?
No, absolutely not. I love Nebraska. I'm going to fight with the guys as long as I can fight.
I love it. And that was it. The press conference just ends. And I mean, Frost is going to be done by the end of the year. This was supposed to be the moment, just like last year was supposed to be the moment. So yeah, bad times for Nebraska. Even the Big Sky Conference is making fun of them. Someone tweeted about, hey, Big Sky Conference, like, do you think you guys are going to add Nebraska in the near future? And the Big Sky, which I don't even know what teams are in it.
I was going to say, I can't identify with the Big Sky.
I don't even know if it's in 1AA. They're like, yeah, we're good.
It's like Montana and Montana State, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out to Montana. By the way, the internet was down at Aviva Stadium. So the beer and alcohol was free. Did you guys see the videos of people?
Of the snakes?
I mean, I...
Cup snakes?
Well, no, not that.
Cup towers?
No, the lines. The lines to get the free beer and the free liquor. Since the internet was down, they were giving... Did you see this on Twitter?
I heard, or I saw like tweets and stuff from people there that like the lines were so long, and you could only get 2 pints at a time. So what people would do is they'd go buy 2 pints, get back at the back of the line, and just drink the 2 pints
well,
while
How are
in
you
line.
That desperate for beer? I mean, I know it's free. Outrageous. I know it's free,
what
but
What an outrageous
on.
Question. What an outrageous
you're
question.
You're asking why Irish people want to drink beer?
I mean, but you're that desperate for
yes,
beer that you're going to wait
Ireland.
For an hour?
That's part of
Go
it.
Go to an Irish pub.
What? But you're at the game. And, I mean, look, what does a beer traditionally cost at a sporting event? Like $20
yeah,
for one
true.
Pint?
$20?
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting.
Is that what they use over there?
I don't know.
Probably.
No, Euros? I think they're in EU, so I think they use the euro.
Yeah, they use euros. It's over £100 to have 4 pints.
All right, we got Harry Potter
at
over
a
here.
Game. So, yeah, people were stacking up the empty beer plastic cups. And yeah, thank you for a while. And I mean, they were
it's
really
Monday, folks.
Those cups were stacking up like to the upper deck. It was incredible to see the tower that they put together, and no one stopped it. So it seems like there needs to be more American football games in Ireland.
Yeah, Scott Frost needed some of those beers after the game. I guarantee it.
Scott Frost, by the way, they had this thing this offseason. I didn't see it, where he had been bragging about how his offensive linemen are like puking like 10 times at practices.
That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
We don't
drink water.
And then the offensive line coach for Northwestern after the game was like, and to think our guys only puked 3 times during practice all summer.
Incredible.
He's doing it all to himself.
Yeah, he is.
I don't feel bad for him either. I think there is a certain point where you've been given way too much time. And Nebraska is probably dead as a program because of Scott Frost. I don't know how you come back, even if you have all those resources and all
What's
those
alums.
What's
his contract situation?
So he has the – he renegotiated, I think, after last season, where his buyout right now is $15 million, but after October 1st, it's $7.5
yeah,
million.
Yeah, there'll be a donor which, that steps up for that.
Yes, when you're negotiating that, like, actually, let me make it easier for you to fire me 6 weeks into the season, chances are things aren't going
well. Yeah, correct. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Glot, our NFL countdown, some of the biggest stories, including a huge one over the weekend with a recent update. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
Okay, so a wild story from this weekend, and it involves football, but is very dangerous. Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. was shot in the leg multiple times, non-life-threatening injuries in what has been described as an attempted carjacking. He posted Jesus. On his Instagram story that the surgery went well, and Ian Rappaport a couple of minutes ago said he was shot in the glute and lower leg, both non-life threatening. And then he mentioned football is not important here, but since we cover football, Robinson has not been ruled out for playing at some point in the season. So hopefully he's able to rehab and get that, because it sounds like it was just a crazy situation.
I want to pat myself on the back for not providing any commentary on the story or retweeting the story like Albert Breer did.
This was painful.
So when this was originally reported by J.P. Finlay, Albert Breer retweeted it saying, "Unbelievable. Had a great summer. Was set to play a major role." It's like what somebody who drafted him in fantasy football a week ago would have tweeted out.
We're at the point now, and part of it is Adam Schefter's fault because of his tweets after Deshaun Watson and some other things, where Ian Rappaport has to put in that tweet, "Football's not important here, but since we cover football," which he really shouldn't have to, because it's like, we know why you're putting it in there, but tweets like that are why. Because that comes across as, I mean, Albert Breer's very nice, but like, what are you doing not at least putting, "Thank God he's okay"?
Did Adam Schefter, this is the real test, did Adam Schefter tweet anything about this, like, regarding football, or did he just set this one out after what happened with Watson?
I think he probably sat this one out.
Dwayne Haskins.
I don't know, though. You got to be first, and then you got to add some commentary to it.
You're going to lose in the scoop game.
sometimes you just have to press the retweet button. You don't have to say anything. You don't always have to talk.
Here was Schefter's tweet. Commanders rookie running back Brian Robinson was shot multiple times in an apparent carjacking attempt, as Findlay NBCS reported. The injuries are considered non-life-threatening. Okay. So he was very cut and dry about it.
He didn't throw in, like, he's ranked running back 15 on ESPN's fantasy football ranking.
Or as David Mulugeta and Deshaun Watson said, it's their moment to prove their innocence or whatever it was.
He's busy. He's promoting Papa John's Pizza.
Yeah, we'll get to that, man. That's one of the worst ads I've ever seen. The video quality also stunningly bad.
Yeah, also the wardrobe, everything was bad.
Everything
about
was bad about it.
His bookshelf, not bad. He likes reading.
He has a good bookshelf.
Reading is good.
TJ Watt, guys, injured in a preseason game. We don't know the severity of it yet.
Okay, so I'm not going to say, well, damn it, this hurts my fantasy team. Okay, see, but I didn't do it. I could have. I didn't.
Mike Tomlin drawing a little bit of ire here because he had his starters going hard in a preseason game. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is what happens. It's football. It can happen. Should Mike Tomlin be absolutely crucified for it? I don't know. It's one of those plays, much like with the guy in the New York Giants a couple of weeks ago, where it was like a legal play. That's just what's going to happen.
And everyone wanted Randy Moss's son kicked out of the league.
Right. I mean, it was your routine cut block, and it's a legal play. It's weird that it's not legal for quarterbacks to be hit below the knee, but you can block a guy below the knee. But that's what happened, and these are the things that happen in this league.
Take, Paul. So I tweeted a couple of weeks. Yeah, that was a good.
It happens.
Life happens.
You didn't even go with the a Watt brother getting hurt, huh? Have to worry about those genetics.
Yeah. Mm. Well.
I'm not.
What's happening? What is going on?
I'm not questioning the Watt family like Sean Mapes is. Sean Mapes grateful to
Derek's
JJ Watt.
Got hurt too, though. Derek has, right?
I'm sure he has. They got brittle bones. That Watt family. Yeah. Drink some milk.
Okay, so I tweeted a couple weeks ago that I said I thought that Malik Willis could possibly take over as QB1. I got a lot of sarcastic QB1.
I'm not letting QB1 happen.
Well, QB1.
Starting quarterback.
I thought maybe Malik Willis could take over as QB1, and I had a lot of people tweet me, and they were like, well, of course, that's why they drafted him. I'm saying I think it could happen sooner than people think, because I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. We saw some exciting play from Malik Willis.
That's for sure.
He's shown some signs.
Had a 50-yard run, threw for a touchdown pass, also threw an interception, also was sacked 4 times. This is a guy that comes in if the season goes down the toilet for Tennessee. I don't know that it's going to go down the toilet, but if they were to run into, I don't know, a slump in the middle of the year and Ryan Tannehill, who was the problem in the playoff loss, is clearly the problem, Willis definitely has enough juice to, at the very least, think about creating packages for him to run with the football. The guy is electric with the football in his hands, not on a Lamar Jackson level, but if Tannehill struggles at all, like, that's it. The very few people who pay attention to the NFL in Nashville will be calling for Malik Willis if there are some struggles.
Sam Darnold, guys, was carted off the field. If you remember, Matt Corral is out for the season with an injury. And Sam Darnold, although Baker Mayfield will be starting, he has a high ankle sprain. That's the latest. It looked like a kind of nasty injury. I'm no Twitter doctor like some of our friends, but it did not look good.
No, it didn't look good. And, I mean, you feel bad for Sam Darnold. It's not like Darnold's a bad guy or anything like that. He's just not very good as a quarterback. And any chance, again, that he has to change people's minds, it's over. This doesn't help either, because at the very least, hey, maybe Baker Mayfield gets hurt, Darnold will get to go back in. It looked bad enough where it would be longer than what has been initially prognosticated, which is like, I think, 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. But it looked like he broke that thing. It looked awful.
What do they do now at quarterback? Who are they going to bring in? I mean, if he's out for the season, he and Matt Corral, they're going to have another option, right?
Cam Newton's name was brought up, but I don't know if they're going to go down that rabbit hole again.
Do they still have PJ Walker? XFL legend PJ Walker.
That,
I don't think so. I don't know where PJ Walker is at this point.
I thought he was with the Saints. I could be thinking wrong.
PJ Walker is. No, PJ Walker, it says he's with the Carolina Panthers. So
okay. I imagine his Wikipedia doesn't get updated super probably often, but still.
Okay. That's a great point, though. He was a solid backup. Not bad. One of the few XFL stories that worked out.
Roughnecks legend.
As we mentioned, by the way, guys, the top NFL players, top 100 players, was rounded out. A lot of controversy around that. Tom Brady, number one. And Tom Brady had some comments on his absence. His 11, what did it end up being? 11 days to 2 weeks?
Right. That's just 11 practices missed.
He's got some things he's dealing with. Here's TV12 on, Brady. On why he was gone.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with. So we all have really unique challenges to our life. And, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on. So, you know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can. And, you know, it's a continuous process. So
I want someone to look me in the eye and tell me I was wrong about the plastic surgery. His face isn't moving.
Yeah, I can't. He looked noticeably different. I mean, I was struck by how defined his jaw was. He looked gaunt. It's not looking as good, the work that's been done, allegedly, as it used to. I will agree with you there. I remember I brought it up. When we brought it on our group text, I texted you guys. I was like, I think you're right, Vanessa. I think he's been having a lot of work
done. And people
done.
Are like, oh, it's his business. It is 100% his business. But guess what? He's a public figure, and he is missing time and then coming back with a frozen face.
Yeah, we thought he was on The Masked Singer. It turns out the mask was on his face the entire
time. There you
go.
He was on vacation with his family.
Well, that was actually the vacation thing made sense because I guess, I don't remember who said this. It was someone on NFL Network that Giselle's family goes on a big vacation every year and that she probably wanted him to go and made him keep that promise.
Because he'd retired.
What if they went to Turkey or Bali? Bali? How do you say it?
Bali.
One of those places.
Or Brazil.
Got surgery done while he was there. I don't know.
Are those places known for surgery?
Turkey is, yeah.
You're right.
And Brazil has the butt lift named
right.
after them.
BBL. That's right. I like my girls. BBW.
But what is Bali?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
The point was somewhere foreign that he went.
Gotcha, okay.
Where he could have gotten that done. His face isn't moving and his face is so thin compared to what it used to be. Tom, you're perfect the way you are. You are beautiful.
I like that. This is a body positivity episode of Vanessa
Well,
and Gallant.
You don't belong on anything body positive.
No, I don't.
Because you got people.
But
fat.
You're the one who did it.
I am. Yeah. I think
you're making
that it
the
was...
show parent child friendly.
Although, if you hear what I say behind the scenes, it doesn't exactly match up. All right. So, Tom Brady was not at his home. He was getting plastic surgery. If you own your home, though, you can listen
wow.
to me.
Unbelievable.
Save enough money to get plastic surgery. Maybe your wife wants it. I don't know. But TGS is going to save you a lot of money. And no, you don't have to talk to an agent. Instantly shops over 36 carriers. You get a full quote for home insurance in just 15 seconds. And you just have to use a single text. So take your smartphone out. Text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. You just send it back. And within 15 seconds, you get that full quote. It sounds like a scam because it's so easy, but it is not a scam. In fact, their average customer from last year saving over $870 on their home insurance. Again, I know it's not the most fun thing to shop for, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. One text. Text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, every Monday we do a segment called In Case You Missed It, and I totally missed the most important part of our last segment, which is the countdown, 10 days until the NFL season.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Disrespectful.
Disrespecting
Who's your
veterans
number 10?
Like Johnny Blood McNally.
Okay.
What? Johnny Blood, an American football player for the Milwaukee Badgers.
Thank you for saying American football player.
Yeah. The Duluth Eskimos.
Who could forget about that?
The Pottsville Maroons. The Green Bay Packers, yeah. The Pittsburgh Pirates, twice. The Buffalo Tigers? Come on. And he fought in World War II, so how about that? But also we have Fran Tarkenton, who is a great Vikings quarterback, for those
there you
who
go.
Remember him. One of the good early mobile quarterbacks who made a name for himself by basically just dodging, you know, pass rushers. Smaller guy, too, only 6 feet tall.
10 days until the NFL regular season kicks off.
We're so close.
And we are so close we can taste it. James Harden did not taste cake. He turned 33 over the weekend. And you sent this video to us in the group chat, and I was really confused because I thought, okay, maybe it was an accident. It didn't look like an accident.
I don't think it was an accident, Vanessa.
It was 100% on purpose.
I think it might have been on purpose, but I could be wrong.
Why would he throw that? I mean, that has to be quality cake. He threw cake. He had this birthday celebration on like some sort of boat.
You sound hungry. Did you want the cake?
Yeah.
Would you have eaten that cake?
I always want cake.
How about Sean?
I think about cake every day.
I mean, who doesn't think about cake every day?
Right.
At first, I would have been like, that's hilarious, James. Ha ha. And then I would have been like, there is like a second cake somewhere on this boat, though, right? Like,
right.
He didn't throw off the only cake on this boat.
It was like.
And all the girls next to them were like, James. They probably don't eat.
That's
but
part of their
I
deal.
I eat, and I want cake.
It was a wedding level cake.
Yes.
It had, I want to say.
Like 5 tiers.
Yes. It was a pretty impressive cake. Look, people are getting mad at James Harden. They're starving people in insert country, just like your parents always used to tell you.
My great aunt used to say that to me.
He was trying to throw it to China. That's what it was.
What'd you say? I mean,
he was trying to throw the cake to all the starving people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But he threw that 4-level cake into the ocean, and here's why.
Okay? I don't understand.
He's trying to get in shape.
Did he really say that?
No.
Your guess.
I'm reading between the lines. Look,
okay.
James Harden, he doesn't talk to, you know, rubes like me, you know, the common people. He's a legendary basketball player. I say that while rolling my eyes. He's trying to get in shape. So you know what? Yeah, he wasted some cake, but props. Like, we're getting closer to the start of the season, and we need to see James Harden lose a little bit of that husk, because this way he can be the best player he wants to be in 2022.
But isn't that selfish, which sums up James Harden? Because I want to, if your theory is true, let's go with it for a second. I'm James Harden. I want to lose weight, so no one is allowed to eat cake. I'm going to throw it all overboard. Dude, you can eat your chickpeas and your lettuce if you want to lose weight. Leave the cake for the other people.
You're right about that, but...
Typical Harden.
Remember when Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake?
No, she I don't got remember murdered. That.
Yes.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah. Famous...
This is like in the 1700s?
People
Wait,
don't
I thought
forget.
That was a movie.
No, Marie Antoinette... There probably was a movie made about Marie Antoinette, but Marie Antoinette was the Queen of France right before the French
That's
Revolution.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember the French Revolution. That was crazy.
Decapitated via the guillotine. So, look.
So, she said that before they chopped her?
She was at a point in where she was just completely naive about, like, how starving people of France were.
Oh.
And she basically just threw that out as a suggestion. Well, like, there's no bread. Well, they can have cake.
Yeah.
And everyone got really pissed off at her for saying that. And
what are you doing, Marie?
Honestly, it was not for like lack of heart.
Yeah, she actually that's my middle name. I'm ashamed to share that name.
No,
with her.
She wasn't that bad.
Can't stand
She's just
her.
An idiot monarch who's probably a product of inbreeding. It's fine. Yeah. Like, this is the thing, though. He's trying to get back in shape, so he threw the cake out. By the way, did you also see that? Is it DaBaby?
It Lil.
Lil Baby, my bad.
There's Baby. DaBaby and Lil Baby. Lil Baby, I believe, is the one that he's
Lil
friends
Baby.
With.
Okay. So Lil Baby gave him $250,000.
Oh, thank God. I was worried
straight
he wouldn't
cash.
Be able to make his rent.
And some coins. Yeah, so he can buy a new cake. See? It's fine. Everything resolved
you
itself.
You can have all the money in the world, but if you're at a birthday party with no cake, what are you doing? Ryan has called into the show and would like to talk about cake. Ryan, what is your cake opinion?
So, I don't know if y'all remember this, but this had me laughing so hard when I first heard it like 10 years ago. There's a comedian named Eddie Izzard, and he has a skit called Cake or Death. Y'all should look it up. It's completely hilarious.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Cake or Death. Okay, we will look it up.
I like this. It's a suggestion box now.
Yes, I'm into it.
He said he wanted to talk cake, and I got excited. I thought it was going to be about Marie Antoinette
or
cake in general.
Also, if you ever go to the dessert gallery on Kirby, which is my spot because I don't live too far from there, best cake ever. They have like birthday cake flavored. They have diner cake. They have s'mores flavored pie.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cakes are good. Cupcakes, even better because there's less guilt associated with them. You have your one cupcake. It's not like you're going to have four or five
True.
Slices of cake.
But to quote Kevin on The Office, mini cupcakes are idiotic. Because a cupcake is already a mini version of a cake.
Yes. Yeah.
But mini cupcakes are for people that are trying to watch their figure.
No. And but then I end up eating a large amount.
Exactly. You eat more.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do regular, like regular cupcakes, standard cupcakes, and like, hey, we have some left over. 1 second. Yeah, sure. And you don't feel like you're having a second slice of cake. Because if you have a second slice of cake, it better be your birthday cake.
I love a good cake. All right. Florida A&M traveled to North Carolina with 20 ineligible players and just 7 offensive linemen. This was a big story over the weekend because they weren't sure that they were going to be able to play.
And to their credit, they scored points. It could have been a lot worse. They only lost 56-24. Could have been a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
Because there was a point where they were like, yeah, we only have 7 offensive linemen.
Now, what? Do you this know why healthy. It was?
A variety of different things.
Because I know some of them were sick, but I didn't ever hear.
Sick, actual eligibility, because the guys didn't have good grades. Like, insert every single thing. I guess Florida A&M didn't really, like, do their due diligence going into the season of checking who could play until the last second. They're like, oh, shoot, we got 30 guys ineligible going into this week.
But they still covered the spread. The spread was 44.5, and they covered.
Hell yeah.
BUSR as well as Circa.
Yep, that's true.
All right, guys, guess who said it? Quote, I've been here when it was glory hole days and when it wasn't.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, glory hole, all right. It was Jerry Jones.
He said glory hole again.
He said glory hole again. He apparently likes that term. This time he said it when he was on First Take with Stephen A. and Molly Karam.
Okay, well, good for Jerry Jones. He's keeping that term, which he believes has nothing to do with things that you could theoretically find at a bathroom stall. To him, it is entirely a drilling-related term.
Yeah.
It's all about the oil industry.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I was going to look it up, like, what the definition
You know
he's
what?
Using
there are all of these quotes that, like, I always say the quote, till the cows come home, and people are like, what does that mean? Or you never look a gift horse in the mouth, which is one that my mom says, because in the old days, you would give somebody a horse, and it was rude to look at their teeth to see how old the horse was. You're supposed to just accept the horse as it is. So there are a lot of quotes that, like, you can still use. This one specifically, since it has the word hole in it, I think might need to be retired by Jerry.
He's in the oil industry. Like, he gets it. And it's merely a glory hole, an excavation into the seafloor designed to protect the wellhead equipment installed at the surface of
the petroleum well.
From icebergs or pack ice. Would you rather say that extremely complicated sentence or say glory hole?
Glory days.
I don't know where you found that definition because all of the links I found on Google are links I cannot click.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
sure.
a you problem.
It's a hole in a wall or partition often between. Yeah, no.
Yeah, there you go. somebody wrote something about Russell Westbrook on the rundown.
Yes.
Did you have a Russell Westbrook bit for in case you missed it?
No. So Russell Westbrook apparently, per the people that are covering this story with like the Patrick Beverley coming to LA, essentially what could happen with Russell Westbrook is that they could keep him out to the side the same way that the Rockets kept John Wall off to the side.
Okay.
So that would be pretty funny to see two guys who played for the Rockets in just a couple of years.
Get paid to do nothing?
Being paid to stay away. And I think that the reason that they're going to do it is if they pay him to stay away, he will have no choice but to accept the buyout. The big problem with Russell Westbrook right now is that reportedly he will not take a buyout to be bought off of the Los Angeles Lakers. So this is, I guess, a way that they could potentially get him to just, I don't know, fall on the sword and leave.
Imagine being told to, like, being Russell Westbrook, MVP winner, multi-time All-Star, and being told, like, hey, we just traded for Patrick Beverley, so we just kind of want you to stand off to the side.
I need another video from him.
We just rather Patrick Beverley be our starting point guard than you.
You won't break my soul, as his Twitter video claimed. Ardolis Chapman is going on the IL with an infection in his leg. Per Aaron Boone, it stemmed from getting a tattoo.
Well, I mean, that's all the rage now. I mean, check that. With Fernando Tatis, it was a fungal infection from a haircut before it was ultimately.
So what do you think it actually is?
I actually do buy. I think that if you get a tattoo, like, this is something that happens on a regular basis.
Are you allowed to get tattoos during the season?
Yeah. Of course. Why wouldn't you be?
Because Doesn't it make you sore? I don't know. I don't have any tattoos. Do you guys have any tattoos?
No, I don't either.
We are a tattoo-less show.
We lost all our street cred in that moment right there.
Yeah, we did. No tattoos. Actually, I have a butterfly on my lower back. Kidding, Mom.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, very awkward for him to get this during the season and then get a fungal issue.
Also, you would imagine he's not going to some like hole in the wall tattoo shop that like you go as like an 18-year-old. Like he's Aroldis Chapman closer for the New York Yankees. Like
clean needles?
Yeah, isn't there some, I'm sure there's some fans.
I just want to know what the tattoo was.
I think the fungus is just becoming smarter, you know? Fungus, whether it's with Fernando Tatis or it's with the Aroldis Chapman, like it's learning that like baseball players are weak and they can take them down.
Yeah, thank you for dissecting that. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk Astros plus some chatter around the MLB, including one of the biggest deals announced over the weekend. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.